Well, hello everyone. Nice to see you all again. We're turning to the book of Ezekiel again, and this is chapter 39 we want to look at, and I'm going to read right through that chapter to start our study, and I hope that we can conclude all the things that I'd like to say. As you know, we're thinking about an attack upon Israel that takes place after the return of Christ, when he has begun his 1,000-year reign on the earth. I have said that though many nations will spiritually submit to Christ and receive him as king, there will be still nations on the earth that will not have received him by faith. They will submit to him as they have to, but they will not from their heart believe in him. And there are nations that at the very beginning of the millennial reign gang together to attack Jerusalem and Israel. What causes them to attack Israel, or at least one of the reasons why they attack Israel, because they see Israel living at peace, prospering. As I said, the wealth of the Gentiles will begin to flood into Israel. And this is a rich prize, which causes the nations that unite together under the leadership of two particular nations, Gog and Magog, this causes them to say, everything's nice and quiet in Israel. They seem to be without defense. They're ignoring the fact the Lord is dwelling in their midst. But then men always ignore the Lord. And ignoring the Lord, they think Israel, they're defenseless. They're open to our attack. We can take them and enjoy the rich plunder. The rich plunder. That's what chapter 39 of Ezekiel is all about. So let's read it very quickly. You have your Bible open there. Chapter 39. Therefore, thou son of man, that's Ezekiel, prophesy against Gog and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and leave but the sixth part of thee, and will cause thee to come up from the north parts, and I will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel, and I will smite thy bow out of thy left hand, and will cause thine arrows to fall out of thy right hand. Thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy bands, all the supporters, and the people that is with thee. I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort, and to the beasts of the field to be devoured. Thou shalt fall upon the open field, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. God's behind this all. God's secret will is being wrought out here. He's bringing these people in whose heart there is still the spirit of rebellion. He's bringing them to Israel to deal with them, to break them. Verse 6, and I will send a fire on Magog and upon them that dwell carelessly in the isles, and they shall know that I am the Lord. You see, there's a defying among these people of the fact that God is the Lord. He has taken up the kingship of the whole earth. But there will be nations that say, we don't accept them. We don't accept them. And the Lord says, well, I'll show you that I am the Lord. Verse 7, so will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them pollute my holy name any more. The whole exercise will have an impact also upon Israel. What God does to these nations that support Gog and Magog, what God does against them, will have an impact upon Israel. And Israel will fear the Lord all the more, reverence the Lord all the more. And it will have a sanctifying influence. Verse 7, so will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them pollute my holy name any more. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. Behold, it is come, and it is done, saith the Lord God. This is the day whereof I have spoken. And they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth, and shall set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields and the bucklers, the bows and the arrows, and the hand staves and the spears, and they shall burn them with fire 7 years. 7 years. After the overthrow of Gog and Magog and those nations associated with them, Israel will go out and gather up the weapons. and for 7 years they will have fuel for their fires. Now, when I thought about this, something occurred to me. You couldn't burn in your fire the remnants of a modern army. How would you burn a tank or a huge artillery gun or any of the other pieces of armor that's used by a modern army? And yet here, and it's in the future, we have Israel burning the weaponry of Gog and Magog. How will that be? I thought about it and I looked for a solution. Why is it that this army in the future seems to be armed with primitive weaponry? Primitive weaponry. Not the weapons that you would associate with an army of today or an army of tomorrow or an army of 50 years from now. How come then this army in the future will have weapons that can be burned and used as fuel for the fires of Israel for 7 years? Anybody any ideas why that should be so? Well, I think here we have one of those, what a theologian long, long, long ago called, undesigned coincidences. And you can work out the meaning of that phrase for yourself. Keeping your finger, because we're going to be reading the rest of the chapter, keeping your finger in that portion, turn back to Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. In Isaiah chapter 2, we have the beginning of the millennial reign and what will happen when the Lord Jesus takes up his position as king of the earth, ruling from Jerusalem. Look at what it says. Verse 2, "And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go up and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations." This is the ruling of Christ, the reigning of Christ, beginning among the nations. "And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people," put in their place, bring them down. You know, if a boy or girl in the class is misbehaving a little bit and getting a bit too big for their boots, as we say, and the teacher says, "You boy, sit down." She wouldn't need to say it to the girls, I'm sure, but she'd have to say it to the boys a few times. "Sit down, boy, you behave yourself." And there's a sitting down, and probably for the rest of the day, I'd like to think it might be for a wee while longer, but at least for the rest of the day, that particular individual is subdued. Isn't that right? Of course it is. Of course it is. Well, that's the picture. "He shall judge," verse 4, "he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more." Could that be why Gog and Magog have weapons that are made of combustible material? Primitive weapons? Because at the beginning of the reign of Christ, there is this turning of nations away from war, and the making of the weapons of war, and they've beaten their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. In other words, they've turned the material of weaponry into useful implements. And the world, to a large degree, has been purged of the weapons of war. So when the nations under Gog and Magog, sometime after the beginning of the millennial reign, decide that they are going to have a go at Israel and attack it, they won't have in their possession, nor will there be available to them, the weapons that we think of today. Could this be the explanation then why they have weapons that Israel can gather up and burn? I think, although there is no direct linking of the two things together in the Word of God, nevertheless, I believe we can see that these two facts can come together and give us an explanation as to why Israel could gather up the weapons of these enemies and burn them. We'll go back to Ezekiel 39, and we're looking at verse 9. "And they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth, and shall set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields and the bucklers." Now, normally, What is a shield made out of? Metal. But these are wooden. They're wooden because they gather them up, the bows, the arrows, the hand staves, and the spears, and they shall burn them with fire 7 years, so that they shall take no wood out of the field, neither cut down any out of the forests, for they shall burn the weapons with fire, and they shall spoil those that spoil them, and rob those that rob them, saith the Lord God. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will give unto Gog a place there of graves in Israel. They come to take the land into their hand and control it, and God gave them a bit of the land. 6 by 3, a grave. That's all they got, a grave. I will give unto Gog a place there of graves in Israel, in the valley of the passengers, or the travellers, on the east of the sea, and it shall stop the noses of the travellers, we'll substitute that word, and there they shall bury Gog and all his multitude, and they shall call it the valley of Hamon Gog. Stop the noses. There's the stench of death in the place. You can't have listened to reports in the news of the recent earthquake in Nepal, and by the way, there has been another earthquake today, almost the same strength. Though it has been up nearer Everest, I understand. But you can't have heard those reports without the newsreaders talking about the stench of death. And there'll be a stench of death here when tens of thousands of invaders will meet with their death under the judging hand of God. Verse 12, and 7 months shall the house of Israel be burying of them, that they may cleanse the land. That's how long it's going to take them to bury the dead of the armies that have sought to invade the land. Yea, all the people of the land shall bury them, and it shall be to them a renown in the day that I shall be glorified, saith the Lord God. And they shall sever out of men of continual employment, passing through the land to bury with the passengers or travellers those that remain upon the face of the earth to cleanse it. After the end of 7 months shall they search. There's teams of men put together, special workforce, just to bury the dead. After the 7 months have passed and the vast majority of the dead have been buried, there are going to be those that will go out and search the land and make sure that all the corpses have been removed. Verse 15, and the passengers that pass through the land, when any seeth a man's bone, then he shall set up a sign by it. They'll put a flag into the ground to identify. Here's still part of a corpse. It's got to be buried. So there's a thorough cleaning of the land taking place. Set up a sign by it till the buriers have buried it in the valley of Hamon Gog. And also the name of the city shall be Hamonah. Thus shall they cleanse the land. And thou son of man, thus saith the Lord God, speak unto every feathered fowl, and to every beast of the field, assemble yourselves, and come, gather yourselves on every side, to my sacrifice that I do sacrifice for you, even a great sacrifice upon the mountains of Israel, that ye may eat flesh and drink blood. That's what will happen, the defeated armies of Gog and Magog. God will gather the very fowls of the air to devour them. Ye shall eat the flesh of the mighty, and drink the blood of the princes of the earth, of rams, of lambs, and of goats, of bullocks, and all of them fatlings of Bashan. And ye shall eat fat till ye be full, and drink blood till ye be drunken of my sacrifice, which I have sacrificed for you. And ye shall be filled at my table with horses and chariots, with mighty men, and with all men of war, saith the Lord God. And I will set my glory among the heathen, and all the heathen shall see my judgment that I have executed, and my hand that I have laid upon them. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day and forward. The whole exercise has served to further instruct and deepen the knowledge that Israel has. God is the Lord. You know, when you're saved, you don't know everything about the Lord from the first day. You really don't. You know the Lord, all right. You know he's the only Savior. You have so much more to learn. And God in His providence in the life of every Christian orders events so that they learn more about the Lord and they see His greatness, His wisdom, His power, His sovereignty from day to day. And it's happened here. Israel as a nation has been born in a day. They're converted. But they don't know everything about the Lord, even at the beginning of the millennial reign, even though Christ is dwelling in their midst and His glory is visible. They still have to learn about the Lord. And this particular incident, the invasion of the land by Gog and Magog, is going to be a great lesson for Israel. And they will see ever so clearly the greatness of the Lord. Verse 22, so the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord, their God, from that day and forward. They'll realize that God is on their side, as they have not realized it before. And the heathen shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity, because they transgressed against me, therefore hid I my face from them, and gave them into the hand of their enemies. So fell they all by the sword, according to their uncleanness, and according to their transgressions, have I done unto them, and hid my face from them. Here's something the heathen's learning. The heathen today doesn't understand the breach that took place between God and Israel at the crucifying of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't understand what happened there. Now we know that God turned His back and hid His face from Israel as a result of their turning their back on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the way it has been for the last 2,000 years. But ungodly men don't understand that. But they're going to, during the millennial reign, understand something of this. That's what the Lord is saying here. Verse 25, therefore thus saith the Lord God, now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob, and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel, and will be jealous for my holy name. That's what the heathen will learn. They'll realize that for the period from the crucifixion of Christ until the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, there has been a turning of the back by God upon Israel. But when Christ returned, He saved His people. They were gathered again into His arms. There was a great reconciling of God and Israel. And the heathen will begin to understand that during the reign of Christ. And they will see this demonstrated when Gog and Magog attacks Israel, thinking that it's an easy prey. God will go forth to defend Israel in those circumstances, and all the world will see afresh God standing up for His chosen people, and that once more they are in a blessed and sweet relationship with God. He's their guardian. He's their guardian. Verse 25, therefore thus saith the Lord God, now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob, and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel, and will be jealous for my holy name. After that they have borne their shame and all their trespasses whereby they have trespassed against me, when they dwell safely in their land, and none made them afraid. This will be a demonstration of the favor of God is once again resting upon the people of Israel. After a long, long time of division and unbelief on the part of that people. Verse 27, when I have brought them again from the people and gathered them out of their enemies' lands and am sanctified in them in the sight of many nations, then shall they know that I am the Lord their God, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen. But I have gathered them unto their own land, and have left none of them any more there. So all Israel, scattered as they are today across the whole world, God's going to bring every last one of them back to their own land. I might just say that the land that will then be called Israel will cover a much, much larger territory than it covers today on the map. It just stretches today from the Mediterranean Sea to the Jordan River. But when the Lord comes again, all the ancient promised land, right to Iraq, that will all be Israel's promised land. So there'll be more than room for all the Jews of all the world to be gathered into their land again. Verse 29, neither will I hide my face any more from them, for I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith the Lord God. Having read that and made the comments, that has really taken up my time. But on Thursday, when we come together again, we point out some things from what it is we have read that will make clear to you, I trust, what it is that has happened during that tremendous attack by Gog and Magog upon Israel at the beginning of the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless his word to you all and create a thirst within your hearts for his truth. Have a read of that chapter again on your own. Go down it slowly. And you should do so, you older ones particularly, you should do it with a pen in your hand. Note down little things that you see. You should do that in all your Bible readings. Let's bow in prayer. O God, we thank thee for sharing with us your grand plans for the future. What a privilege it is, Lord. When we think of history, and O God, our nation has been very much thinking of events in the Second World War some 70 years ago. When we think, Lord, of the plans that were made by the Allies to invade Europe and overthrow Nazi Germany, Lord, there was no sharing of those plans. Great secrecy was observed, and yet here we are looking at God's plans of what it is he's going to do in the future. Of course, Lord, the difference is men can have their plans upset. Therefore, they try to keep them secret. But, Lord, no one can successfully oppose your plans. Thou wilt bring them to fruition and accomplish everything that thou hast determined to do. Lord, we rejoice in this. We rejoice in this. Thou hast said that you will rescue your lost sheep and bring them safely to heaven. And praise God, that will come to pass. Pray that each one of the children here today may know themselves to be part of the sheep of Christ. Answer prayer, we ask of thee now, in Jesus' name. Amen.